Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
It is Monday, January 10th. Good morning, Menace Nation. First of all, before we get started, shout out to the Menace Nation. We asked you to help us get in the top 100 of sports podcasts in the world. Now, this is not like in the Midwest or in Ohio, the top 100 sports podcasts in the world. And not only did we get in the top 100, we got in the top 75, and right in front of Colin Cowherd. On Saturday, we were ahead of Josh Pate and his late kick, who I think he does an exceptional show.
Great job.
He's phenomenal. If you haven't listened to him, so I said I was going to talk trash to him if we got ahead of him. I didn't count it though, Chris, because it was kind of on our downfall. You know, as you hit the weekend, listens kind of start to fall off, and we had added our Twitter Spaces to the feed late Friday. So that's the only reason we fell slower than Josh, and he fell behind us. So it's not a victory yet. We're not counting a win there. Now, I also don't want to discourage you from listening to his show because it's very good. So we just need to do better if we want to catch my man, Josh Pate. But that is the goal. And I will tell you, Chris, so we had 95,000 downloads last week, which is by far the biggest week we've had, maybe ever. Certainly in the last year, but this week we're already primed for a better week. 140% listens over the weekend. I think we had, here, let me do the math. We had 8,100 on Saturday, 6,000 on Sunday. So over 14,000 downloads on the weekend. So we appreciate you, but we need to bring back our mailbag on Friday. We'll do our mailbag. So go on Spotify, go on Apple Podcasts, and leave us a 5-star review. If you want to do it on the internet, you can go to iTunes on the internet and do it. If you don't have an iPhone, leave us a 5-star review and drop your questions. We will answer those on Friday. Also, we'll have our Twitter Spaces again, which was jumping on Friday. We had like 350 people at times in there.
Yeah, and Johnny Dixon popped up. Kirk Barton came through. Randy Wade came through. I mean, it was just going, absolutely going.
It was popping. So also National Championship Day. We got a national championship tonight, Georgia, Alabama, if you live under a rock. But for that game, last chance. I mean, we have 12 hours left right now as of 8 a.m. to get your square on the big money board. We're already well into profit for the charity. So you buy a square for $100, that will give you a single digit for the winning score, single digit for the losing score. If that is the single digits of the winning and losing score at the end of the first quarter or third quarter, you will win $500, 500% profit. If it is the final digits for the halftime score, you will win $1,000. And if it is the final digits for the final score, you will win $3,000. And if nothing else, if you don't win, that will be $100 donated to charity. So jump on Venmo. Shoot us $100 per square you want at Cameron Media. Last chance, last call for alcohol. Get on there and get your square.
Yep.
I gotta tell you, Chris, this is wild. So we have this. So Menace to Picks is our handicapping platform. If you're interested in sports gambling, check them out. So we have this thing called a war room, right? It's the most expensive tier. It's for serious gamblers only. We probably have 20 people in there. And, so it's just conversation, 24 hours a day conversation, right? Our lead handicappers are in there. Really, our handicapping team is in there. And so you can ask questions. They can go back and forth. And you, it's a chance to kind of get extra plays, like plays you love. And so last night, they found one that I was like, holy shit, no way this is real, right? There was a three-leg parlay, right? Draymond Green's under points, under assists, and under rebounds. Whatever, it doesn't matter the line, because Draymond announced right before the game that he's hurt, but he wanted to play. He wanted to take the tip off, and then he was going to foul right away to get out of the game because he wanted to come back and start with Klay Thompson and Klay's return. So he literally played like 30 seconds, and you cashed them all for plus 2,000. You bet $100, you win 2,000. And so they found it and they were like, fire this right now as big as you can. And everyone's firing it. It was right before tip off. Not enough time for us to post about it. That's why you got to be in a war room, because these sons of bitches put like $1,000 to win 20,000.
That is crazy. Cheating.
So anyways, go to my bookie, use promo code Menace, and then sign up for the war room. You will get fucking paid. I was sitting there like, you know, I'm not a gambler really. So I was like, holy shit, is this real? Like, and I didn't fire it, of course, like an idiot, because I don't follow basketball. But yeah, he didn't play. I mean, he played just the tip off and it got out of the game and it was like, cash the bet. There you go.
That's insane. That is a come up. Zach, I do have something. You know, for those of you who've been following for a while, you guys know that I'm at the radio station, and Menace Army, you guys were so great. We had to reach back into the end of the tank. I got some tickets to go see Youngblood in Cleveland in February. And if you're interested in that, all you got to do is text Mars to 216-578-1073. And then if you get a text back, and then if you say thanks, Chris, or something like that, I'll know where you guys came from, and I'll try to help one of you guys out for that for sure.
Hook it up. So make sure you say thanks, Chris.
Yeah.
Or else someone else might win it. We're trying to get a Menace Army member to win it. I don't know what Youngblood is, Chris. What the hell is Youngblood? Am I getting old?
It's like an alt-rock guy. You know who NGK is?
Yeah.
He's like a part of that circle, like that kind of gotcha. Blend of musicians. Yeah, that's a House of Blues, February 5th. So, you know, we giving away tickets all the time. Zach, I'll tell you guys at some point what kind of went down over here. But we want to give those away to one of you guys. So tap in, please. But Zach, you about ready?
I'm ready.
All right, man. Well, first of all, we already addressed, like, you know, Zach versus Josh Pate. Maybe we'll set up a celebrity boxing match if you guys both hit the top 50 at the same time. Something that happened over the weekend that is not football related that I want to address. I want to lob to you, Zach. We got guys and girls sports.
Yes. So I was corrected on Twitter, right? What's Leah Thomas is the boy who is now decided is a girl.
Yeah, and
is
transitioned. A swimmer, right. Transitioned to a girl.
Yes. And so I had thought that he got beat by another boy who became a girl swimmer. That's what I thought happened.
Yeah, that's how
come
I read
to find out. He was actually beat by a girl who's transitioning to become a boy. So it's fucking complicated. Now I had to make a flow chart, and I had to draw penises and vaginas to figure out, and then like X out the penis because it's no longer going to be a penis, or maybe it will. I don't know the difference. I don't really know how that works, if they cut them off or if they don't. Maybe you just chick with dick. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. to quote a great movie quote, there's no such thing as a chick with dick. Chicks with dicks. It's only guys with tits. All right. but yeah, so Leah, whatever his name actually was that his parents gave him, is he has been dominating women's swimming, but just got beat by an actual woman who is going to transition to become a man. Yeah. And I'm so utterly fucking confused now, because what I thought, if she was going to become a man, she would swim with men
in the men's division. So we have a transgender girl getting beat by a transgender in transition boy.
I don't know. You say that transgender girl. I don't know what that means. Like, were they originally a girl, or are they now a girl?
They're now a girl.
I mean, they're not, because they have a penis, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Zach, I'm trying to
I'm so fucking confused, man. Why is, like, 2022 is hard. Mm-hmm. It is hard to understand what is going on, right?
Yeah.
So,
At the risk of getting canceled,
I'm laughing my ass off at this boy who just got his ass kicked by a girl. That's fucking hilarious, because he went to the girls division so he could beat everybody, and he got his ass handed to him. I fucking think that's great. But was this girl, is she taking like testosterone shots and shit to grow mustaches, or what is she doing now?
And that can't be like legal with the steroid stuff, right?
That's what I'm saying. Isn't it steroids then? I just don't understand.
So Zach and I aren't scientists, but at the risk of being canceled, this is where I'm going to be with this, Zach. Guys transitioning to be girls, life isn't fair. Life's never been fair. It's not how life is. But guys transitioning to be girls is incredibly, incredibly unfair. And if you are transitioning to be a girl, one of the things that should just go out the window entirely, just no matter what you think or why you were born this or why you were born that, if you are a guy transitioning to a girl, you just have to give up sports. That's just a simple fact of it. Like, I don't care they're transitioning. I don't care about it. Good for you. More power to you. But the one thing you're not going to do is destroy a sport. it's so obvious the science of boys versus girls in terms of like capability. I mean, you see it in places, see it all over the place. Like an NBA player, if they transitioned and went to WNBA, I hate to break it to you, they would destroy the WNBA. They would go crazy. Like, Zach, do you know that there's been a total of 28 dunks in WNBA history since the conception of the league?
Oh, I'm sure.
There is over 50 dunks a night in the NBA. That tells you everything.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem with this situation, right? Is because it is now in that, you know, you have those diagrams with the two circles. Mm-hmm. We're in the middle where the two circles intersect, because the woke left media, they are all about women's rights, women's sports, right? And they're all about transgender rights and transgender sports. But you can't have both in this scenario, right? Because you are totally violating the rights of every female athlete when you allow this to happen. But if you don't allow it to happen, if you talk about how it's unfair, then you are discriminatory against transgenders. And so what do? They say nothing. They don't even talk about it. Mm-mm. The only people that talk about it are like Clay Travis and people that are like far right media. And it's like, you're sitting here like, well, how is this fair? One. And two, why aren't you talking about it? This is a huge story. Like this dude is dominating women's swimming. And on top of that, a chick just beat him. Like, that's fucking huge for that girl. Right. I mean, it should be like, holy shit. She just beat a dude. Like, she just beat a dominant male swimmer. I guess he's not that dominant, right? He's swimming against the women now, but and it reminds me of a story, Chris, when I was in jail. I went to jail for 20 days. For those that don't know, I'm not shy about it. I'm not ashamed of it. But in jail, there was this homosexual man, right? That was in jail, very, very feminine, right? Very, I mean, over the top feminine. And he went to jail because, as he said, oh, this bitch at work was talking shit. And so I beat that bitch's ass, right? And you're sitting there like, wow, like, dude beat up a girl, but like, he's very small, very flamboyant. Like, it probably was a fair fight, right?
Hey, yo.
But it's like, I don't know, gender, there's no more genders, or there is. I don't know anymore. But yeah, it's just a wild world we live in.
In sports, genders are supposed to be required, because both those people that won the race shouldn't have been in that swimming race. Like, quite frankly, neither of them should have been in it.
Maybe the girl should have been.
Transitioning and taking testosterone,
testosterone, then no, she shouldn't have been. That's taking steroids, right? That's like Lance Armstrong being in a bike race. Like, that's fucking unfair. But yeah, just wild times. Wild times in 2022. Here we are. And how about my guy Bob Saget died?
Oh, R.I.P.
Fucking Danny Tanner, man.
That shit hurted yesterday. That hurted. I can't even hold it.
And who would have ever thought that Danny Tanner, like the wholesome dad, right? Single dad. I mean, he was single dad goals, right? Mm-hmm. And on Full House, would go full send to go to Entourage and become a shitbag for his greatest role in his career. He outdid Danny Tanner. But R.I.P. to Bob Saget.
Mm-hmm. Back in the day when I used to be a camp kid, that's what everyone said BS stood for, you know, the card game BS. So got me hit the Bob Saget. I do want to real quick touch on some other podcast stuff. Dude, AB on the Full Send podcast. I've watched Full Send before. My boy Brad watches Full Send a lot, and it kind of put me hip to that. And I was out when you posted a little clip of that dude Salim. Just absolutely me riding AB.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like that. I mean, never. And honestly, you lose your man card. You lose the mic. Like, give back the mic. Return them. Go to Best Buy. Return the mic right now if that's where you got it from. Because I don't know anything about the Full Send podcast. I don't know one single person on that show. Never heard of it. Never heard of them. But that's neither here nor there. I mean, I'm not exactly in touch with a lot of things.
Yeah.
But whoever that was, his name Salim.
Salim.
I mean, he would have sucked Antonio Brown's dick right there in studio in front of those other two dudes. It was unbelievable. He was like, "No, you are. You're the best ever. Yeah, you are. No, you are definitely the best ever. Oh, you definitely would have played and scored touchdowns. Yes. Oh my God, you have a huge penis." Like, it was just like, it was so embarrassing. Like, good God, man. Like. And the other co-host, I don't know who his name, but he was at least pushing back a little bit.
Oh, see, the white dude,
yeah,
he will push back a little bit. They had Chad Ochocinco on the show as well, and then but he's been around football players a lot. He's a meat writer in his own sense, but he will ask the hard questions. He lived with Saquon Barkley for like a summer and a half, I think. When Saquon was out living in LA for the summer, so he's been around football players, so he's not going to sit here and just absolutely gobble AB when AB was talking absolutely crazy. I mean, Buddy said, "Can we get a moment of silence for the great AB?" And then Buddy said, "Yeah, you are one of the greatest."
Then he said, "Thank you." He thanked them for the moment of silence that he demanded himself. Like, hey, like I said, mental health issues. I don't know what else to say. I mean, it unbelievable. And I got into an argument with a number of people on Twitter, and also I had some former, like Austin Mack, messaged me about it because he said he's the greatest. He said who's doing it better than AB right now? And my answer was like, I don't know. I can think of about 12 receivers that are doing it better than Antonio Brown right now. And that's I'm no disrespect to Antonio Brown's career. I mean, he was easily one of the top two or three receivers in the NFL in his prime when he was at his best.
Yeah, it was him and Julio.
Here and say Antonio Brown is one of the top 10 receivers in the NFL today, like, no, absolutely not. I would absolutely take at least 10, probably 15 receivers over him right now if I was named the GM of an NFL team. That's without the bullshit. Mm-hmm. With the bullshit, he's not even fucking employable. He's not. So I got into it with people on Twitter. I wanted to address that he still is not a top 10 receiver in the NFL. And you can say definitely whatever you want, but just because you play with Tom Brady and your wide receiver three with Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, and you're getting a lot of third matchups and you put up okay stats, it doesn't mean you're one of the top 10 receivers in the NFL. You were, but you're not anymore.
No, that's 100% the case. I mean, I don't want to list them, but I definitely could. I mean, 10 right now, and especially with the young wave of really good receivers coming up, I don't know. There's probably about 13 receivers I would take over him right now without the bullshit, and then with the bullshit, it's a whole other story. Circling back around to college football, the Natties today, Zach, are you watching, and will the Natty ratings be better than the Rose Bowl ratings?
You know what? I'm sure they will be. It's the national championship. Of course I'm going to watch. I mean, I'm going to have to break it down on Tuesday. So tomorrow. So I definitely will be watching. And I'm excited to see it. You know, if you love football, you love college football, despite the fact it's two SEC teams, despite the fact that it's Nick Saban going for his, 58th national championship, despite all that. I mean, it's an exciting matchup and to watch players that play at a high level and coaches that coach at a high level. And you're talking about a rematch from a month ago, not 3 months ago, a month ago. One of the best defenses in America gets a chance to kind of redeem themselves. And it's a chance for Kirby Smart to try to get the monkey off his back, beat Nick Saban. It'll be cool to see Bryce Young, what he can do, kind of to bounce back from just a lackluster performance against Cincinnati. Same with Jameson Williams. Just to see what is Alabama's game plan going to be and how is Georgia going to kind of tinker with their plan from the SEC championship game that was so brutal and that didn't work. And can Stetson Bennett actually go win a national championship? I mean, he's an average quarterback. We know that. And he will be probably the first average quarterback to win a national championship if he does. So logic would tell you don't bet against Nick Saban. Don't bet against the better quarterback. But I still think Georgia wins the game. And Stetson Bennett will be the first average quarterback to win a national championship in a long time.
Yeah, no, I hear that. It's crazy, dude. A year ago today, exactly, Jameson Williams was lining up playing against Alabama in the national title game, and now he's going to get to suiting up for them to play in the national title. Nick Saban made some interesting comments on how the NIL is completely out of control right now with players getting paid, and it's not supposed to really determine where kids go to this degree, and there needs to be some legislation. Is Nick Saban saying this because he is kind of worried about, Texas A&M and kind of what they've been able to do, shelling out $30 million for a recruiting class? Or was this what Josh Perry said on Twitter, a warning shot? Like, hey, if you guys don't get this under control, we're going to turn this up a notch. That's not what anybody wants.
Here's the thing about Nick Saban. He doesn't do any of those things. He doesn't shoot out warning shots. He doesn't complain. He doesn't really do that. What he does is he just talks candidly about a situation, fully knowing what they are doing and going to do. And so he doesn't give a shit if they change the rules or not. He's going to operate within the guidelines that are set before him, and he's going to find a way to do it at a higher, at a better, you know, a higher level than anyone else. That's what he's going to do. So I think he was candidly talking about this NIL stuff and the transfer portal and the slush funds and paying for recruits. And he was just basically saying, like, this is fucked up. Like, this is really stupid. We should not be doing this. They need to put guidelines out because this has created the wild, wild west. He's not complaining because they're going to do it as well or better than everyone. So they'll certainly thrive in that, just as they would if there was guidelines, just as they have prior to this being the case. And so Nick Saban is simply telling you what's wrong with college football. It has nothing to do with what they are going to do, what they are doing, or what someone else is doing, because he honestly doesn't really give a shit. He's just, they're going to find a way. They're going to bring him the rules and say, these are the rules. These are what you're allowed to do. What do you want to do? And he's going to make a plan to operate within those rules, you know, most of the time, and thrive. So I think what he did, though, by him talking about it the way, you know, as emphatically as he did, was he just validated what I've been saying and the reality of the situation, that this is awful for the sport. This is not good. I've said it, you know, for the past, you know, week or two. This is awful for current players, for stars, for the people that actually should be monetizing their name, image, and likeness, because these boosters are spending their money to get recruits now. And so the money's going to kids that haven't earned shit instead of the kids that have. And so it's a completely fucked up world we live in college football right now, all thanks to the NCAA and Mark Emmert. And it's a shame. And Nick Saban just further validated that, and I guess brought a little controversy to it, because some people thought he was complaining. Some people thought it was a warning shot. I think it was just, in reality, just a candid evaluation of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, it's pretty spot on. Now, the next part of that is, it looks like Ohio State's ready to kind of throw its money around. You know, there was some talk over the weekend, and Cardell, you know, the silent assistant GM or whatever of the football team, getting things squared away. Zach, the Ohio State brand is bigger than every brand in college football. I know that some people in the South don't want to hear that, but that's just the way it is. And if they are allowed to kind of take their handcuffs off and go, I mean, they keep putting together 300-plus recruiting class, if you look at the score, which is exceptional, and they're in the top five without doing some of the stuff that, like, Texas A&M has done. If they're able to do that, Zach, I mean, this could be – this. I don't know. It's so weird to think about, but Ohio State could enter this next stratosphere, and you already think they're already at the top of college football, or certainly near it.
Well, so there's two things that I think about what's going on with Brian Schottenstein and Cardale Jones and all that. First things first, like, Ohio State is awful at competing with the SEC and some of these big time programs when it comes to boosters and their involvement. They're terrible. Like, like, just absolute idiots. You know, and in a former life, it was all illegal. So you never really cared. You didn't want to, like, encourage it or anything. But when it comes to the SEC boosters, I mean, they've been doing this a long time. And to think that Cardale Jones is going to be some, you know, knight in shining armor that's going to deliver this amazing NIL slush fund better than Texas A&M or anyone else. It's honestly just fans being blinded by the block. Oh, like, it's not going to happen. I'm not saying they're not going to put a fund together. I'm not saying it's not going to be good, but it's not going to compete with anyone in the SEC, because it's not what Ohio State's good at. And
well, what about this, Zach? What about this? What about, like, Cardale being, like, the social influencer of, like, Buckeye Nation?
Cause, like, yeah, I mean, I love that. Cardale's a huge personality and a huge name, and I love Cardale. But the other part of this is, so they're going to fundraise. That's what we're saying. They're going to fundraise. Yeah. Do they have any idea what to do with that money? Or are they just going to fanboy out and give it to, you know, popular names? Like, is CJ Stroud going to get a big deal because Brian Schottenstein you know, wants to take care of our starting quarterback? Because that's what the NIL should be. I mean, and to be honest, that's what Brian Schottenstein should do, right? Mm-hmm. Take care of the big name players, right? So they don't jump in the portal, XYZ, all of that, right? Because you got to do that too. But how are they going to make an impact in recruiting like Texas A&M just did? because there's going to be no involvement with the staff. The staff will not be involved. I mean, they will get fired if they get involved. Doug Archie will have their balls hanging above the Woody Hayes Athletic Center's door where you walk in. You'll be like, oh, whose balls are those? They'll be like, Brian Hartline's. Yeah. He told Brian Schottenstein to give money to this receiver, and Doug Archie found out, and he chopped his balls off and hung them up there. That's Hartline's balls if you want to see
it. Castrated.
That's what it'll be. And I've already heard that Doug Archie and the compliance have put out a mandate, like if boosters are creating a fund to pay recruits, they will have their tickets revoked. Like Ohio State is
why, but why?
Because they don't like it, because it feels dirty. Oh. It doesn't matter that it's legal, and it's never mattered. That's always been Doug Archie's thing. He doesn't want
so he's the moral one
that he doesn't think should be legal. And I used to say it all the time, like, hey, Doug, fuck off. It is legal. You didn't make the rules. They made the rules, and we're trying to maximize our output within these rules. I don't care if you like it. I don't care if it looks good for Ohio State. We're trying to win, and they don't get that. So they're already fighting. They're already pushing back. And I've said it forever. It's going to be problematic. And so I love what Brian Schottenstein and Cardale Jones are doing. I think it's exactly what needs to be done, but I don't know how they're going to do it, because Doug Archie is going to fight like fucking crazy. And on top of that, the staff can't be involved. So what recruits are they just going to go on 247 Sports and pick recruits and be like, hey, let's go get this kid. Now Brian Schottenstein's deciding who we're recruiting, right? And it's like, it's not how it's working at Texas A&M. Jimbo Fisher is involved with this slush fund. He's directing the booster run 501(c)(3) into where the money should go. Right?
I mean, the rumor has it they basically got the boosters basically got a target list of all the kids in the top 100 that they want, and the boosters went and ponied up the money straight up.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. And that's, I mean, if this is how we're going to operate, if this is going to be the NCAA as we know it, that's how you have to do it. You have to do it that way. Because otherwise you're going to be wasting money and time on kids that, you know, it may be this five-star receiver that you're like, oh, this kid's awesome. Like he's the number two receiver in the country. Like let's contact him and start talking to him and talk to him about NIL deals. And little do you know, Brian Hartline's sitting there like, he's my seventh receiver on my list. Yeah. Right.
That's something that very good point, because I mean, when we got JSN's commitment, he was outside of the top 300. So that's not a guy that boosters are going to be like circled in on.
No. And yeah, I was even looking at it with my son. Like we were cleaning out my storage area of our basement, and I found a bunch of stuff from my career. And I was looking through a recruiting book that I had. You know, I used to, my intern used to make me these recruiting books. It was just an organizational tool. And he was looking through my list of receivers that Mark Pantone gave me. And literally not one of them made it to the NFL. Mm. This is for spring recruiting. Like the top targets for Ohio State University that Mark Pantone gave me, not one of them got drafted to the NFL. And there was like 10 or 12 kids on there. And I'm sitting, that's the process, right? You can go by 247 rankings all day long, but that doesn't mean they're the best receivers in the country. And I think if I'm not mistaken, that was, it was Chris Olave's class. So like Chris Olave wasn't on the list. You know, I don't even remember who was in that class. And I honestly can't remember who was in the book, because, you know, they didn't come to Ohio State, the ones I had on that list, and they didn't make it to the NFL. They didn't have illustrious collegiate careers. So that stuff changes. And like you said, JSN was out of the top 300. And obviously that was a high, high priority for Hartline, but the boosters wouldn't know that unless now are the boosters going to evaluate film, or are they going to, you know, try to talk to Hartline on the sly? Like, that'll be a fireable offense in Doug Archie and Gene Smith's mind.
I mean, and shout out Terry McLaurin, you know, hit 1,000 yards with Washington this past week. I mean, he was outside of the top 30 receivers also.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you think about
those are guys not on boosters' radars.
There's no doubt. I mean, Garrett Wilson. So of all the guys I recruited, like Garrett Wilson would have been paid, right? Yep. The boosters would have known about him. Johnny Dixon, the boosters would have known about him. Like Austin Mack, never. They would have never known. Maybe Ben Vick, maybe. Probably not, but maybe. Paris Campbell, no. Terry McLaurin, no. Curtis Samuel, probably. You know, I'm not going to go. Noah Brown, not a chance. They would have never known. I mean, people thought he was a tight end body. You know, he wasn't a highly ranked kid. So, yeah.
Michael Thomas wasn't highly ranked also.
No, absolutely not. So, it's just, they, Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I don't know. I'm fired up that Ohio State, you know, shout out to Brian Schottenstein for stepping up and trying to do something, because if he didn't, I don't know who, no one would have. Like, we'd have just been sitting here with Les Wexners of the fucking world, you know, just sexually abusing minors and with all this money and donating to the business college, and we would have had no idea that why Ohio State is going 8-4 every year now.
Michael Thomas is a prospect, 765 nationally, 89th receiver in the country, actually lower than that, maybe in the state. But regardless, moving on, I do want to talk, stay on receivers. Brian Hartline got promoted as the passing game coordinator, Zach. And a lot of people were asking, well, what does that job entail? Who's been doing that job in the past? I believe Ryan Day was doing that job, but you'll know more about the day-to-day duties of a passing game coordinator. Is it just a title, or what responsibilities added on to that?
Yeah, I mean, so this is not news at all. I mean, it is, and I kind of said it on Twitter, this, all this is, right, Brian Hartline gets promoted, gets a passing game coordinator tag. All that tells you is that Ryan Day loves Brian Hartline, thinks he's doing an exceptional job, and wants to keep him. So he wanted to give him a big raise so that Notre Dame couldn't steal him away, or the NFL doesn't take him from him. That's all it means. Brian Hartline is not going to call a play. He's not going to design the passing game. He's not going to design the route concept any more so than he has in the past, right? You don't need a passing game coordinator title to have influence in the offense. I think that people get way too caught up, and especially fans get way too caught up in what's his title? Like, when I got named the recruiting coordinator, people were like, oh man, like, so now he's responsible for the recruiting. Like, no, absolutely not. Like, I was named the recruiting coordinator just to give me a title, and because, you know, every now and then I would present something to the staff that I thought was good in recruiting, and that was the end of it. Like, it didn't mean anything. And this doesn't mean anything. Just the title doesn't. Like, Ryan Day did not need to give him this title for him to go to Brian and say, hey, I want you to be more involved and kind of take over this pass game, so I'm gonna let you run with that. He could, that's just a job responsibility that he could have given him, right? With or without the title. The title doesn't matter. It's just a resume booster, and it's a way to approach Gene Smith and say, hey, we need to bump Hartline up so we don't lose him. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. So you don't need to look too far into this. Like I said, Brian Hartline could be calling the fucking plays. It doesn't matter what title is attached to him. It's just what Ryan wants him to do, asks him to do, and needs him to do. I mean, like I've mentioned it before, Justin Fry and I were calling plays at Florida. We were GAs. We didn't have a fucking play call coordinator title. We were, I mean, essentially calling the plays from the booth. So it's a complete non-news story when it comes to like what is going to change in 2022. The answer is nothing. Mm-hmm. But it does tell you Brian Hartline's doing an exceptional job. Ryan Day loves him, wanted to keep him, wanted to bump his salary up, give him a big raise, and that's all it means.
For me, it just adds on to the like not all position coaches are created equal, and kind of getting that tag, it's like an extra little step of validation. It's like an extra little tag of like, we appreciate everything you've done, and we think you may be ready or closer to being ready for, you know, an expanded role, whether it's OC or whatever down the road, and we like kind of the path you're on. That's all I take from it. I don't expect anything really to change. I think he's been really involved and obviously doing a really exceptional job. And you know, I'm really excited for him. Other staff changes moving forward. When do you expect these all to be announced? Do you think that they're kind of waiting for everything to get, you know, all the staff changes and just do all at once with a big press conference, or are they still, you know, doing some searching? So
the hiring process is tedious just because of, and I'm sure it's probably worse after I got fired because, mm-hmm. With background checks and all the things they had, all the boxes they have to check, hoops they have to go through, and then a guy has to be officially hired on payroll before they can announce it and before he can start recruiting or anything. So I think that's all it is, just jumping through those hoops. And there's obviously some negotiations before you even get to that point. So like I said, I mean, we all know Justin Fry is the guy as the O-line coach. I think the most concerning, maybe not most concerning, but the one thing kind of out there is there's no reason why any other changes aren't made yet, right? Mm-hmm. Like if Kerry Combs is going to retire, if Al Washington was going to get fired or be demoted or switch positions, like not switch positions, they could announce that whenever. That's irrelevant. That's just a change within staff. But anyways, if there was going to be another change on the defensive side of the ball, it should have been made by now. Not necessarily replace a replacement named, but if Kerry Combs is not going to coach the corners, that would have been announced by now. I would say today's the deadline, right? Mm-hmm. National championship game is over. Then what else? What else are you doing, right? You're already full on in the off season. I mean, I got a FaceTime from one of the coaches. He was duck hunting this weekend. So like, they're certainly not like busy right now doing something where they can't, you know, get their staff organized or figured out. So there's no reason why a change hasn't been announced. So in my opinion, there's only two changes being made. That obviously could change, and maybe I'm wrong, but I would say that right now it looks like the defensive staff is pretty much set, and then the offensive staff is pretty much set. They just need to announce Justin, and then there you go. Move on.
All right. Yep, I hear you. I generally agree. But Zach, I don't have anything else for the day. You got anything else?
No, that's it, man. I appreciate everybody. So do us a favor. As I mentioned, go on, leave us a 5-star review, drop your question, help us try to hit 100,000 downloads this week, and let's chase the top 50. Let's get in that top 50 and really push this platform over the edge. Appreciate everybody. Menace out.
Menace out.